Praise the Lord. If you would, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. It's a joy to be here this morning. I've been looking forward to being with you. One of the things that we also do is we work with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. That's actually where I met your pastor. Franklin was in the Roanoke, Salem area back in 2003. And I met him through that process and have become just wonderful friends with Brother Danny and Sister Pat. So I hate that I don't get to see them, but it's good to be here with you guys today. Right now I'm actually in Huntington, West Virginia, working with Will Graham, which is Billy's grandson, Franklin's son, and we're a month out from having he calls his celebrations in Huntington, West Virginia. So I would really appreciate your prayers there, that God would just bring a great harvest. We've been there in and out of there for a few months. Yesterday we had some neighborhood discovery group training, and we just got through with Christian Life and Witness classes, and so we're on a roll towards the final stretch, and there's a lot of work to be done. So please pray for us in Huntington, West Virginia, for the tri-state celebration with Will Graham. And in fact, I'm heading back there today as soon as we're through here. I'm doing a concert tonight at a church there, and then I have to be there early Monday morning. So please keep us in your prayers. What a joy to serve the Lord. Amen. And you have a beautiful church building here. I would love to see the history, but this is kind of neat. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you. But I was raised in church. I've been going to church all my life. I was going to church before I was born, actually. 9 months before I was born. I've been in church all my life, and I appreciate that heritage. My mom and dad were good, godly people. In fact, I was born while they were in Bible college in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and that's just a great heritage that the Lord has given me. And raised in a good, godly home under a good Bible-preaching church, and so forth, just had a lot of pluses, so to speak, in my life. But what I want to speak to you about this morning, about a year and a half ago, our ministry, my personal ministry, just started getting a little rough. The finances were a little slim, and just things weren't flowing real well, and I began to ask the Lord, all right, God, what's this about? Are you trying to steer me a different direction? Are you wanting me to do something else? You know, I'm willing to wash dishes if that's what you want me to do. I don't care. I just want to make sure I'm doing what you want me to do. And I began to, there were some things that it seemed like, you know, everything I was trying to accomplish, it seemed like it was hitting a brick wall. And so I began to pray and ask the Lord, what's going on? Give me some direction, etc. And this is the passage of scripture that he led me to, and this is what he encouraged my heart with through that time. And since then, I've come back to that quite often, because here in America, we have gotten real good at church. I have the wonderful privilege. Last year, I was in 18 different denominations ministering. And I have the wonderful privilege of being in all kind of situations and seeing how God is using different styles, different methods, etc., to get the gospel out. And yet, something that is just glaringly obvious to me now is what I'm going to speak to you about today. And this is meant to encourage you, to strengthen you, and not to hurt you. Amen. So I hope you take it in that light. John chapter 15, if you're able to, would you please stand in honor of God's word? Can y'all hear me okay? I'm echoing up here to myself, but I don't want to. Y'all hear me all right? John chapter 15, starting with verse 1. I'll read out loud if you'll read along quietly. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I want you to remember that, okay? Verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And here it is, for without me, ye can do nothing. How many of y'all believe that? Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it will be done unto thee, unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Father, and I claim the verse where you said your word will not return void. And I pray, God, as it goes forth today, that it will take seed in our heart and encourage your people, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. There's a missionary a few years ago who had invited some of the natives into the mission for a meal for an evening meal. And of course the mission had a generator and had a little bit of electricity going on, and these natives came into the mission, and the one native especially was just blown away, because as they walk in they see this light bulb hanging from the ceiling. And it's illuminating the room. And that was just absolutely fascinating to these natives. And so at the end of the evening, one of the natives actually asked the missionary, do you have one of those that I could take home with me? And so the missionary said, sure, you know. And he's thinking he's just wanting a little souvenir for the evening and something he can talk about. So he gave him a bulb. Well, weeks, months later, this missionary was going through the jungle and happened by this native's hut. And so he walks into the hut to visit with this native. And to his surprise, hanging from the straw roof of this hut was a bulb that he had given him. And it was hanging there by a string. And of course, it wasn't illuminated. And the native asked the missionary, he says, why doesn't mine light up like yours does? And of course we get a chuckle out of that, because we have an understanding of electricity, right? There's a source. In that missionary's case, it was that generator. And that generator generated electricity. And then there's wires that carried it to that bulb. And then there's those filament in the bulb and so forth. So all of those things, but there was a source of that electricity. That dear native had no concept of the fact of electricity. So it really messed with him when he hung his up and there was no light. And you know, we kind of chuckle at that, but I'll tell you what, as I've traveled across this nation and in many churches, I am finding that we as the Church of America are just as silly sometimes. Because we wonder, why doesn't our church radiate
like that other church? Or why don't we do this or that like we used to? And the bottom line, the fact is this. There is a source of power in this thing called the Christian life. And without it, we can do nothing of eternal value. It doesn't matter how good we are at it. It doesn't matter how many times we've done it. It doesn't matter how trained I am. It doesn't matter how long I've been at it. I can do nothing of eternal value without the source of the power of God. And church, I tell you, especially, you know, someone like me, I'm preaching constantly. I'm singing constantly. I'm before people constantly. And it's easy to get into that routine and, oh, I've been here before. I've done that before. Amen? And get up and do it again. But the Word of God says very plainly, without me, ye can do nothing. And church, what we need to understand and get a hold of is that truth. This is a spiritual journey that we're on. And our physical tools will not do it. We must have the power of God. We need the spiritual to operate in the spiritual realm. So we may get a chuckle at this native, and yet I believe that often the church is just as silly. In fact, how often I have heard people say things like this. Someone comes up with an idea of reaching out and reaching the community, and you'll hear people say this, well, we've never done it that way before. Well, that's not necessarily a reason not to do it. Amen. I'm glad that Henry Ford decided to do it differently. Amen. That's why we all drove here in cars today instead of on horseback. Someone said, there's got to be a better way. My rear end's sore from riding his horse. There's got to be a better way. And so they came up with it. So the fact that it hasn't been done that way before, that's not necessarily a reason we ought to shut it down. Amen? It's not a reason to do it either. But I'm just saying, we ought to be open to that, and we need to understand that God is going to be leading us. And we need to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit wherever that leads, even if it is somewhere we've never been before. Amen? In our text today, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, penned some wonderful truths, I believe. And I want to share three things with you today before we leave here. There are three things brought up in this passage of Scripture. There's pruning, fruit bearing, and abiding. Pruning, fruit bearing, and abiding. And it's interesting to me that the very first thing that he brings up is pruning. Cutting. Hear the words again in verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch, listen to this, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. He prunes it. It's the branch that is doing something. It's the branch that has fruit on it. That's the one he's cutting. And this is where the Holy Spirit really encouraged my heart. Here, as we were ministering, we were seeing some fruit. We were seeing God do some things. And yet it just seemed so hard. It seemed like we was getting cut on all the time, you know. And the Lord just showed me, Jimmy, that's the branch that gets cut. It's the one that is producing, that is pruned. Why? That it may bring forth more fruit. Amen. We in America's church are bearing fruit in some cases, and we are comfortable, we are happy with our fruit. And God wants to take us to more fruit. But we're resisting the cutting. We're resisting the pruning process in our life. And so it says here that that branch which was bearing fruit, he purges it. So what shall we say about the pruning process? Jesus says that God prunes the branches that bear fruit. Why? To allow that branch to bear more fruit. You see, vines left to themselves will sprawl in every direction and produce these big, huge canopies of leaves. And as I travel across this country, I have seen these big, beautiful churches that just absolutely are gorgeous to look at. But as you kind of hang around for a while, you begin to look around, you go, where's the fruit? Oh, this is a beautiful tree. Look at those leaves. Man, I would love to set up a table under there. Look at the shade that's providing. This is a great place. But where's the fruit? So unless the canopy is controlled, church, the vine cannot yield much fruit. Pruning at the first glance may seem to be a counterintuitive activity. For what you are pruning on seems to be the most healthy vine. And yet the vine, in fact, that may look the healthiest, but it is not bearing much fruit. It's all show and no tell. It seems to me that Jesus was concerned with his disciples that they might be facing that same problem. And by the way, church, Jesus has no interest in showy disciples any more than he has interest in showy Christians today in this world. God is not near as impressed with us as we are with ourselves. Amen. Let me tell you a little bit about my experience with pruning. My dad was an old Georgia farmer. In fact, he grew up on a dairy farm in Georgia. And he loved to grow stuff. And so when we were in Florida, my dad always had a humongous garden. And we had fruit trees in our yard and all kind of anything he could grow, he was wanting to grow it. You know, we had banana trees, the whole works. And I remember these three fruit trees we had. We had a orange tree, grapefruit tree, and a tangerine tree. And I don't know why this stuck out in my head, but it has. But as I was going through this message, this little example came to mind. And I remember stepping out of the house one day, and my dad had already pruned the orange tree. And he is halfway done pruning the grapefruit tree. And that orange tree, I mean, these were beautiful, beautiful rounded trees. I mean, they were beautiful to look at. But when I stepped out the back door and saw that one tree that my dad was finished with, all it was a bunch of stobs just kind of sticking out everywhere. And I remember thinking as a kid, Dad, what are you doing? You done killed my orange tree. No more fruit for the Davises. Dad's killing the trees. I remember thinking that. And here he is whacking on the other one, and half of it was looking just as bad, and I went out there and tried to help and defend the tangerine tree. But my dad understood something that I did not. And that was, to get the fruit, you had to prune and cut away those branches that were stealing all the energy and all the sap and all the stuff so that those branches could bring forth more fruit. And sure enough, when it came harvest time, honestly, those trees every year were bent to the ground with fruit, especially that tangerine tree. We couldn't give them away fast enough. My dad understood the need for pruning. Also, growing up in Florida, we lived just a few hours from Disney World. And I remember as a kid going to the Magic Kingdom, which really wasn't that magic. But anyway, we got off the monorail, And one of the very first things you see when you step off the monorail, or did back then, was this big bush that was shaped like Mickey Mouse. Oh, it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And I remember thinking to myself, before I leave this place, I'm going to buy me a bag of those seeds, those Mickey Mouse bush seeds, because I want one of them things in my yard. I remember that. And sure enough, as we walked along that day, I saw a Donald Duck tree, a Cinderella tree, a Goofy tree. There was all kinds of those trees everywhere. But as I began to look closer, I started to realize that, first of all, there's wire in there. And there were other times that we went that people were there actually trimming on those trees. And the whole thing is, there is no such thing as a Mickey Mouse bush. Amen? Someone had an image in their mind, and they planted this bush, and they began to trim on that bush so that it would begin to look at like the image that they had in their mind. Well, guess what? God's got an image in His mind. And that image is His Son, Jesus. And He's wanting to trim on us so that this world can see Jesus. You see, this world doesn't need to see Jimmy Davis. This world doesn't need to see Withfield Baptist Church. This world doesn't need to see Billy Graham. This world doesn't need to see the Pope. This world needs to see Jesus. Because Jesus can change their life. And so God is pruning. If we're not resisting Him, He is pruning in our lives to conform us into the image of Christ so that we can love like Christ loves, so that we can reach out to a world like Christ would. Thank God for the pruning. Because God loves us, He prunes us so that we can bring forth more fruit for His glory. I'm sure if the branch was able to speak, that it would confess that that pruning process hurts sometimes. Sometimes it's not that pleasant. But we need to be willing, church, to allow the Holy Spirit of God to do His work in us and conform us into the image of Christ. See, even Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. In other words, I want to be Christ to this world. I want to be dead. I want to be out of the way, and I want Christ living through me. Let me give you a little side note, too. You will never see a branch pruning another branch. Amen. That's not your job, branch. Amen. Whose job is it? The husbandman. God's job. God's job is to prune us, not yours. And by the way, you're not real good at God's job, so quit trying to do it. Amen. You're messing it up. And also, God is never so close to us as He is when He's pruning us. So allow Him to do that work in us. Sometimes it's cutting away the dead wood that might cause trouble, but often it's that living tissue that is robbing us of spiritual blessing. Y'all have heard the statement, good, better, best, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. Don't ask me to say that again because I won't be able to remember. We are comfortable with good. And God is trying to take us to better. Or we're comfortable with better. And God's trying to take us to best. And that's why the pruning process is necessary. And may I say this, sometimes the things that He's cutting in our life are not sinful. They're not bad things. They're just things that are robbing us from His best. I often tell God and ask Him to search my heart to search my ministry, search me, and Lord, show me. Can I do something better? Can I shine for you better in a different way? Can you do something in my life? Does something need added? Does something need taken away? Let God examine your heart. Number two, we have the pruning, but then there's the fruit bearing. The fruit bearing. Now, what is meant here in this gospel? I've heard preachers preach from this passage about the fruit of another Christian being, or the fruit of a Christian being another Christian. In other words, sharing your faith and soul winning and so forth and leading someone to Christ. Now, that is definitely a Bible truth. God wants us doing that. In fact, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. And if we are not busy sharing our faith with others, we are living in disobedience to God. It's not a gift, it's a command. And I understand some of us don't have any problem with that. We could talk to a tree till it rots. I mean, you're a good talker, amen? But some folks, they're a little bashful. Well, guess what? If God commands us to do something, He'll also equip us to do it if we'll just step out in faith and do it. And the command is go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen? We are to share our faith, always looking for that opening. I'm going to throw a side note in, all right? Think of this. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Do you believe that? The Bible also says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. His plan is for we who know Christ to share with those who do not know Christ how they can know Christ. Now, why is that God's plan? I have no clue. I just know that is His plan, which is exciting to me that God has invited us to be a part of that. Amen? So, He's not willing that any should perish. He's called us to do the work. May I suggest to you that if you got up in the morning and said, Dear Lord, help me get out of the way. I surrender to your spirit today. God, give me an opportunity, at least one opportunity, to share my faith with someone. If you ask God to do that every morning, do you believe that He would do that? He will. He's not willing that any should perish. He's called us to witness. And here I am saying, Lord, would you give me an opportunity to do that? I guarantee God's going to say, yeah. I've been waiting for you to ask. And if you'll go through that day just looking and ready for that opportunity. And it may be a friend at work who's going through a hard time. Maybe someone at school. Who knows? Maybe someone in the supermarket. Just the other day, I had the wonderful privilege. I was stepping out of the office. Like I said, we just got through with Christian Life and Witness classes. And one of our classes was in Ashland, Kentucky, which is about 10 miles down the road from our local office. And I was getting in the van to go down and pick up the rest of those materials that we did not use. And here come this guy walking by that looks somewhat homeless. And he said, hey, you going to Ironton? And I said, I have no idea. Where's that at? I'm not from around here. I said, I'm going to Ashland that way. I said, is that the direction you need to go? He said, yes, it is. And I said, well, I'm leaving in just a minute. I said, I'll be happy to take you. So immediately when he asked, because especially we'd just gone through these classes again. It's fresh in my mind again. I'm thinking, okay, I just taught this. Here's my opportunity. Amen. And by the way, did I feel like doing it? I'll be honest with you, no. I had a lot to accomplish. I was tired. It's been a long weekend, and I physically just didn't want to do it. But again, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, Jimmy, you just taught this. Here's a door. What are you going to do with it? So got in the van, and for 10 miles, I got to talk to this guy. And come to find out, this guy just poured his heart out to me.
and had been through some pretty rough stuff and was just kind of coming out of it and trying to get his bearings, so to speak. And I had the wonderful privilege of leading that man to Christ sitting in the van driving up 52 in Ohio, heading to Ashland, Kentucky. I'm still in connection with him. They've just put him in a new apartment and so forth. So he called me the other day. I'd be honest with you, I was kind of wondering if he would, but he did. He called me, gave his information, and we're staying in contact. And I'm going to try to get him discipled and growing in his faith and help him. But I'll tell you, that morning, as I try to do every morning, I said, Lord, give me at least one opportunity today. That was it right there. Sometimes I get more than that. But friend, there's people all around us who need Jesus. They don't need religion. They need Jesus. And the only way they're going to see Jesus is through you and I. And that's when we're allowing the Holy Spirit to trim on us and prune on us and take away those things that are keeping us from bearing more fruit. I believe this fruit that it's talking about here is not that of a Christian, but it's the fruit of the Spirit. In this passage, in this context, it's talking about what Galatians 5 is talking about. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Against such there is no law. All these fruit that the Spirit of God brings forth and produces in us as we yield to Him. Do you realize, church, that we cannot love people like we ought to? Without me, you can do what? Nothing. We cannot love people like we ought to if we're not allowing the Spirit of God to produce His love in us. Why? Because God is love. He is the source. I cannot love my wife like I ought to, guys, unless I'm allowing the Spirit of God to produce that love in me. The world knows nothing about real love unless they know Christ, because God is love. How can you know love when you don't know God, right? The source. How can you expect that bulb to illuminate when it's hanging there with a string and it's not connected to the generator? Friend, we need the Spirit of God to produce the fruit of the Spirit in us so that we can love people like we ought to. Let me share something, and this is kind of where the rubber meets the road. And I don't want to get on one side or the other with this morning, but I do want to share something that I'm seeing that just burdens my heart terribly. When it comes to the homosexual issue that the church is dealing with today, and you get online and you see how the church is responding to it, it is full of hate. Amen. If I was a gay man and approached the church today, I'd run as fast as I could the other direction. I wouldn't want anything to do with Christ because how I'm seeing the church respond. How do we love people who may be hard to love? How about that drunk who doesn't smell so good and not acting quite right? How can we love them like we ought to? I'm telling you right now, I don't have it in me to do it. I'm an ornery old cuss. I'll just be honest with you. I'd rather punch somebody in the mouth as to deal with them. All right? I'm just being honest with you. I cannot love people like I need to if God doesn't do it through me. Now, some of y'all, you're lovey-dovey. It's easier for you. God bless you. But I'm telling you something, even as loving as you are, you can't love people like God wants you to love them without His power and without His strength.
and without His fruit being born in you. Amen? It's impossible. This fruit of the Spirit that the Spirit of God is producing in us, that is what gives us what we need. You know, that's our service should be springing from the fruit that God puts in us. And that fruit is produced by the Spirit of God. A branch should have the same DNA as the trunk does. Amen? If God's DNA is love, then our DNA should be love. Church, I tell you what, we can't even hardly get along with each other. Especially us Baptists. We're terrible at it. I grew up independent Baptist, all right? We didn't like nobody. And we were proud of it. Amen? And I'm telling you, it's pitiful. But I'll tell you why it's happening. It's because we're trying to do this thing in our own power. Think about this. If we're all listening to the same Spirit of God, amen? We're all surrendering to His Spirit. And He is producing in all of us His fruit. Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. There's a good Baptist word that we need. Gentleness. Goodness. If these things are produced in us, guess what's going to happen to the local body? There's going to be unity, right? Why? Because we love each other. Genuinely love each other. We're long-suffering with each other. Because none of us are perfect yet. Amen? I know that was a reality check for some of you folks, but you have not arrived. But honestly, the beauty of it is, as the Spirit of God does His work in us, and as we draw closer to God, we're also drawing closer to each other. One of the most powerful things that I've seen God do through crusades with Billy Graham and festivals with Franklin and celebrations with Will is seeing the area churches, all denominations, coming together. I'm telling you, folks, there is power in unity. And when the community sees this Methodist guy over here getting along with this Baptist guy over here, and both of them are getting along with the Church of God guy over here, I'm telling you, it's a powerful thing that the world sees. And they begin to get a glimpse of Jesus. I'm sure you've heard this joke. This guy went to heaven. St. Peter was showing him around, said, yeah, here's where the Church of God folks are. And right here's the Presbyterians. And he said, now this next road, he said, you be quiet. This is where all the Baptists are, and they think they're the only ones up here. But anyway, heaven's not that way, is it? We might as well enjoy each other here. Amen? We're going to spend eternity together. If we know Christ, but that unity, and that's what the Spirit of God brings in us. So it's not only in our own life, not only in our own home, we're coming together because the Spirit of God is working in us, in our local church, amen, and in our world, in our county, in our nation. You see, the problem in our country is not the White House, it's the church house. The Bible still says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. That's still in the Word of God. And church, as we respond to allowing the Spirit of God to do His work in us, and as He forms us into the image of Christ, we will have an impact in the world that only God can do. Amen? The last thing, and I'm done. There's pruning, fruit bearing, abiding. The paragraph that follows our text today in the Gospel of John talks about abiding in love. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. God's word is clear. We are called to be transformed into the image of Christ and to abide in His love. The more we abide in Christ, guess what? The more fruit we will bear. The more fruit we bear, guess what? The more pruning is going to happen. Why? So we can bear more fruit. So that the quantity keep up with quality. Amen? It was in the connection of the parable and the vine that the Lord first uses that expression, abide in me. The biblical image here is a vine of the vine conveys a deep connectiveness in our lives. And church, we need to be deeply connected to God to be transformed. Such transformation comes from connectiveness, not effort. I want you to get this. In this passage of Scripture, nowhere is there a command to bear fruit. It's not there. Read it again. Nowhere in this passage of Scripture are we commanded to bear fruit. The command is abide in me. But then he goes on to say, if you're abiding in me, you will produce fruit. Amen? See, it's a byproduct of abiding in Christ. Where we Baptists have gotten it wrong is we're good at getting out and winning and sharing our faith a lot of times and coming up with our programs and all this stuff. The problem is, it's us doing it. But if we're abiding in Christ into the source, and the Spirit of God, the sap of the tree, so to speak, is flowing through that vine into us. And boom, there's the fruit. That fruit is a product of me abiding in Christ. It's not something I have to work at. It's not something I have to pump up. Amen? It just simply happens because I'm abiding in Christ. Amen? That's why we have preachers who are quitting the ministry by the groves today. That's why we have Sunday school teachers discouraged. Because they're doing it all in their own power. And God's saying, you need to abide in me. And from that relationship, from that connection, will flow from you a life of service. And it will be filled with love. It will be filled with joy. Amen. I used to tell my kids when growing up, Daddy, we got to go to church tomorrow. I said, no, we get to go to church tomorrow. And every once in a while they'd catch me. I'd say, kids, remember, we got to go to church tomorrow. No, Daddy, we get to go to church tomorrow. Shut up, you smart aleck kid. But anyway, it's interesting to me. I don't have to work at it. I don't have to struggle over it. I don't have to lose sleep over it. I just need to abide in Christ. And when I'm doing that, He will produce fruit in your life. Praise the Lord. Tell you a story and I'm done. Luke chapter 10. There's a story of two sisters. And these two sisters are arguing. I know you find that hard to believe, that sisters argue. I have four girls. I'm laughing, all right? They do argue.
Same was true with Mary and Martha. The Bible says that Jesus came by and he was visiting with them. And the beautiful thing is, the Bible says that Jesus was there and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his words. And Martha was in the kitchen cooking fried okra, cornbread. That's all in the original Greek. No, it's not. But she's serving who? Jesus. She's cooking a meal for Jesus. She's serving the Lord. That's a good thing, right? Sure it is. She's busy serving the Lord. Now listen to this, though. I find this funny. I'm sorry. But here she is in the kitchen, and the more she's serving, the more aggravated she gets. Here I am in here serving all by myself. My sorry sister sitting out there not doing anything. I got to do all this myself. Have you ever been there? I'm the only one in this church that does anything. Nobody helped me with anything. I was a pastor and I've done that, but anyway. But honestly, the more she served, the more aggravated she got. And finally, she busts into the living room and says, "Jesus, don't you care that Mary has left me to serve alone?" But listen to Jesus' response, church. Listen to it. "Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about with much serving. But one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." What was Mary doing? Sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his words. That word, that phrase, sitting at the feet of Jesus, means she snuggled up close to him. And hearing his words, that word hearing means she turned everything else off and honed in on every word that came out of his mouth. May I suggest to you this morning that you're not ready to be in the kitchen until you've been on the sofa. Amen. Until you've spent some time abiding in Christ. Remember what they said about disciples? After they had gotten up and served, they had ministered. The Bible says that the folks around took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. In other words, they didn't see the disciples. Said, "Man, those guys are acting like that guy Jesus." Amen? Why? They were serving. They were ministering after they had been with him. Dear friend, if you don't have a regular time that you spend with the Lord in prayer and in Bible reading for you, amen? Not to prepare for a class, for you. I challenge you, start that today. Because without him, church, we can do nothing. And this old world needs Jesus. This nation needs God. And the only way we're going to reach him is when the church puts the real thing in place of abiding in Christ. And from that abiding, it's going to flow ministry that is God-sized. And the world's going to say, "Man, they've been with Jesus." Amen? When I was pastoring, I was preaching 3 times a week at least, sometimes more. I took that very seriously. I spent much time in prayer asking God what my people needed to help me, steer me in the direction that I needed to go. And I spent many hours every week studying and preparing so that when I stood behind that sacred desk before my people, I knew I had a word from God for them. I was very sincere in that. One day I'm preparing for a message
And the Holy Spirit pricked my heart with this truth that I'm sharing with you this morning. So, Jimmy, when's the last time you just hung out with me? Just you and me. Not for your Sunday school, not for your Wednesday night teaching, not for Sunday morning. Just you and me, Jimmy. When's the last time you just loved on me and let me love on you? And you know what? I realized right then that the Holy Spirit of God was right. It had been a long time. Church, without Him, we can do nothing. Abide in Christ. Some folks, you say, Jimmy, man, this world's a mess. And what can we do? How can we reach our friends? How can we make a difference? It may sound very simple, but here it is. Abide in Christ. If you'll do that, the Spirit of God will produce fruit in you. And as that fruit is being born in your life, guess what? God's going to prune you so that you can bring forth more fruit. Amen? Father, thank you for inviting us into the ministry that you are doing and want to do in this area. Father, thank you for this church. But Lord, I pray today that that truth will just sink deep into our souls, and that we will truly understand and realize without you, this is all just a waste of time. Nothing of eternal value is being accomplished apart from you. So God, help us to abide, to be people of God, to allow you to produce in us the fruits of the Spirit, that we would be Jesus to this world. Lord, bless this ministry. Bless these dear people. Lord, even as I think about this loved one that they've announced today who has passed, and a family, Lord, that I'm sure is broken and hurt during this time. God, we can only love those people and comfort them with your power and your anointing. So Lord, use these dear people to love on that family. And Lord, may we be willing to let you prune us. And Lord, may we simply come to you and ask, Lord, cut away what does not look like you. May we simply just be obedient to you, Lord.